So, I saw a question, and I feel like it's a question that needs to be asked, and I'd like to get you guys' answers on it. I know my answer, but which apocalypse, the end of humanity, which one is worse? Terminator apocalypse, from Terminator, of course.
No or, shit, really?
Yeah, yeah. Or zombie apocalypse, which one's worse?
Terminator apocalypse.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, yeah, because machines wipe out everything, basically. Yeah. Zombies slowly wipe everything out.
Yeah, last time I checked, zombie didn't nuke anything.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, if they're the running zombies like World War Z, that'd be pretty damn freaky.
Then you're just screwed in both cases.
Yeah, dude, that's like...
You know, it all depends what kind of zombie it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Ooh, what if
classic zombie, then definitely go with classic zombie.
Yeah, what if we, you know, the strong
zombie... But not
zombie,
Rob Zombie, though.
Not. What if it was a bunch of Rob Zombies?
Then we would just get a bunch of bad music and movies.
Ouch.
The whole world was doomed anyway.
Yeah.
Listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.
This is Clifton Collins Jr., and you're listening to Rebel Radio.
Welcome to episode 54 of the Rebel Radio Podcast, fresh for Comppalooza, but not really, because due to technical difficulties, it's been like a month since we're in the studio.
Yeah, if this was fresh, we'd be stinking fish.
Yeah,
right now.
So this is your host, Mark, hanging out with me.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
And we apologize for delay. My computer literally took a crap shit.
Yeah, I was just here like the night.
Petered out.
What was it? That Saturday night of Comic-Palooza?
Yeah, I was trying to put something on the computer, and it acted up that Saturday night. I got it back on, but then it did the same thing again Sunday, and this time to no avail. I did everything to try to save it, try to reboot it. I even called Microsoft, which was useless. I knew more than the guy did. Yeah. I could go work
They're
for them.
All I remember is that we got out of Comic-Palooza. I figured we would chill and have some beers till 2 o'clock in the morning, did we? Nope. Mark sat on his computer
so
for that entire time.
We had
time.
A couple beers, I think. Well, that we did on Sunday. But so we released a live show, and we hope y'all enjoyed that. We had a cosplayer, Julia Denham, at our live show. We also had Long from the Warp Cave on the show with us. And so we hope you enjoyed the live show. And today is our post, finally, not too late, I think, to do our post-Comppalooza show.
Never too
We've got
late.
Some interviews that we did at the show for you to play and some other things to talk about. But before we do that, make sure you're going to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com and for all your Rebel Radio needs and the latest geek news, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And also, this same week, look for the first episode of my new show, Duel of the Nerds, which you can find at DuelOfTheNerds.com, which I'm recording with Evil Dr. Tran with Long. And we're releasing that on July 6th, which is this Wednesday. So you'll probably get this show first, and then the next day you'll get Duel of the Nerds, is what I'm thinking.
Wow, that's just like so, bam, bam.
Yeah, you get double the mark.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
gosh.
It's like those old Wrigley commercials.
You didn't have
double
a better
mint
reason
pleasure.
For canceling
Oh, the
your
double
head.
Mint?
Yeah, double
mint.
Double mint mark. So
yeah, I would say cancel y'all's internet right now.
Before we get into our review of Comppalooza and everything that went on this year, it's a big anniversary this week. 30 years since Big Trouble in Little China hit movie theaters.
Oh yeah.
And
hey, did you ever find our pop figures?
No.
Man.
We look for them at Comppalooza. There are pop. Everybody, if you listen to the show, everyone knows what a pop vinyl is. I don't think you need to explain anymore that they're made by Funko. Everyone knows what they are.
Only one place
and,
even had the new.
They are now stuff. Big Trouble in Little China pop vinyl figures out. A Jack Burton pop exists. I will find this son of a bitch. It will be mine.
But out of all,
it's
out
all
out
in
of
the
all
reflexes.
All the vendors there, only one place even had
yeah.
Big
it's,
Trouble
it's
in
brand,
Little China.
Well, I did
they,
look.
It was like literally brand
yeah,
new.
They're brand new. They just barely hit. So we're going to talk about some cool stuff we bought at Comppalooza in a minute. And but yes, so Big Trouble in Little China, 30 years ago, it hit theaters. Now, Matt, you're a little bit younger than us. You obviously discovered Big Trouble in Little China a little later on. Frank and I kind of literally grew up watching. I don't know if I saw it in theaters. It's just one of those movies. I don't
I
know.
I saw it on cable. I think HBO.
Yeah, HBO, Showtime, and it was always like a, remember in the old days before we had all these cable networks, you had Fox and UPN or whatever they called it back then, the Paramount Network, and they would do these Saturday matinees, you know, where they would show like cartoons in the morning, then at noon they would either start a Kung Fu movie, a Rocky movie, or some 80s action flick. And I remember Big Trouble in Little China always being on those like Saturday, Sunday afternoon matinee movies.
Yeah.
And that's how I did my earliest memories of it. And for me, what do you think? Well, I'm going to ask you guys first. What's the importance of that film to y'all in your film library? As big, because it's very much a cult classic film amongst geek cred people and nerds, and it's just a fun film. And
I think that's what it is. It's just a fun film to watch.
But I also,
it's like the everyday guy being the hero. It's like, this is just not somebody you like. It almost feels like one of those another scenarios where like I could be that guy.
Yeah, if Bart, I'm really he's just your regular Joe, fight, he's a truck driver.
Raiden from Mortal Kombat,
and he's got some good moral standards. He's like, hey, quit messing with that chick.
And that monkey-looking thing from Street Fighter,
right?
I mean, literally, did they rip off? Did Street Fighter and
you mean Blanca?
Mortal Kombat? Yeah, did Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat they literally rip off this?
And
film?
That's the thing. I think it was influential in its own way. Maybe through video games, maybe through other comic book stories. It's just, the film still stands up very well. Yeah, obviously some of the special effects are a bit dated, but what 80s film doesn't have dated special effects?
Look except what they had for to deal with.
Star Wars or Aliens, maybe. Those might be the only ones.
I mean,
that's
why I love Star Wars, because of what they did back then.
And, but so where does it stand in y'all's library of film? Like, how important is it to you? Is it in your top 25 ever?
Oh, yeah,
you
know, definitely. So like, within my top 15.
Of your importance to films that influenced you, you know?
I don't want to say influenced me, but definitely with, like, if I was going and I was, like, thinking of all the movies and had time to think about that, would definitely be within my top 25 of Taking on an Island with me and watching over and over again.
That easily makes the top 25 list somewhere
and
up there.
Yeah. I remember, what was it? Last year we did an episode where we talked about our guilty pleasure films, and I think all of us had it in our top five guilty pleasure. I think it was one or two for most of us.
Yeah.
It was kind of flip-flop between that and Flash Gordon as our number one guilty.
I love Flash
Gordon. And the difference in Big Trouble in Little China and Flash Gordon is Flash Gordon's, in all honesty, it's not a great film, but it's a fun film. Where Big Trouble in Little China, I think, is a pretty good film, really. Yeah. You know, it's a bit better story than Flash Gordon, and a bit more well thought out. And I think for me, it's the film where I discovered one of my favorite actors. I don't remember seeing anything with Kurt Russell before then. I guess I probably saw all those Disney movies.
Tango and Cash?
I think that was kind of the same year. I think it was the same year. I think they were both 86, if I remember right. IMDb it while we're looking.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm sure I saw him in some of those Disney flicks he did, because Kurt Russell did a lot of...
I remember Overboard.
But,
no, just kidding.
And he did The Thing, but I was too young at that time to have watched that.
Right.
So I think Big Trouble in Little China was the first movie I discovered him in, and I still, Kurt Russell's one of my
but
top five
admit,
favorite
like,
actors.
When I was a kid...
89, so Tango and Cash came afterwards.
I remember when I was a kid, the monster, scary monster gorilla looking thing, like, always frightened me. That's the one part of the movie I couldn't watch when I was younger. Like, at the end
when it comes out of the truck.
That's why we quit watching it.
The Pork Chop Express.
Pork Chop Express.
And now there's been talks of a remake with The Rock in it, and Kurt Russell says he's given his blessing to it, but... Man, this is right up there with...
If it's The Rock, I like The Rock. I like Dwayne Johnson.
But he's the same guy in every movie.
Yeah, you know? I like Dwayne Johnson.
But you got to leave.
Look, if they're going to push it and do it, then Dwayne Johnson's fine.
Big Trouble's right up there with me with this Ghostbusters remake. No.
It doesn't need to be made, but if they're going to push it, then at least Dwayne Johnson
is sacred anymore,
Mark. Yeah, nothing is.
When ideas run thin...
The original Star Trek... is gone. Star Wars is about the only thing we have left.
Well, they rebooted Star Trek.
But you know what I mean. Star Wars is about the only thing we have left.
I know. I just think that...
They're going to reboot, you know, Back to the Future.
They already rebooted Total Recall.
And look how that turned out. Yeah. Other than...
Kate Beckinsale.
Well, yeah, but every scene that she was in it, she's like... I have to stop and pose so I can look hot.
Yes.
Go watch it. She is hot.
She's incredibly gorgeous.
Yes.
But go watch the movie again. It's like there's so many scenes, you know, it was directed by her husband, you know, Lynn Wiseman. And you go watch the movie again, it's like the scenes are purposely set up for her to look good. Like, Kate, okay, I want you to look really hot right here. Okay, honey, look, I'm looking hot. Then you go watch the movie, it's purposely set up like that.
It's like, hey, baby, remember the bedroom the other night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I really didn't totally hate that remake. I didn't totally hate that remake.
I didn't either.
I just felt like it was unnecessary when I watched it. I'm like, yeah, I'm watching the same movie again. And speaking of this Ghostbusters remake, I know y'all saw it on my Facebook. They're clearing the freaking toys out already in Target before the movie even hits theaters.
That's horrible.
It's like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
It's not even in theaters, you're clearing the toys out.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not interested at all, but I kind of hope it does good. Just for the new generation of kids. Because the other night they had the show on ABC where they do a flashback of different decades. And it was 1980 through 85, and my wife and I were watching it, and they were singing the Ghostbuster and I just song, and I just remember what it meant to me watching Ghostbusters. So for this younger generation of kids, I want them to have that same feeling, and our stuff is kind of outdated for them.
No,
it brings them more up
to new generation's parents can walk into freaking Walmart and buy Ghostbusters for $5 on DVD and make them watch it. It's a lot cheaper than going to theaters to see this new piece of crap.
Yeah, but these kids, the kids are going to recognize these actresses compared to ours.
Maybe. I don't think any of those actresses are big enough names for kids to recognize them.
And you know what I don't
I'm sorry, unless you were staying up really late at night or your parents were letting you watch rated R stuff. And Caddyshack and all that. You probably didn't really know who was in the Ghostbusters until Ghostbusters came out.
I could see, like...
I think people knew Bill Murray. I think he was big enough.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And Dan Aykroyd.
And Aykroyd.
But like I said, only if you got to watch Saturday Night Live. Which a lot of these kids, if they watch Saturday Night Live, they know who these ladies are.
Aykroyd had some movies out and stuff.
But this is another Saturday Night Live alumni doing this movie. And that's what they wanted to go with because of the original Ghostbusters for the most part. You know,
all I know is I will not be seeing it.
I wish they would have tied it in somehow.
Yeah.
To the original group. That I would have felt like, okay, you know,
it was
I'm
a passing
curious.
Of a torch and not like a feel like a reboot.
Because it feels like a reboot. I mean,
right now from everything I see, it feels like a reboot.
The trailer starts out 20 years ago in New York. And then proton packs aren't around. They had to invent them. It's like, really? They couldn't find proton packs? And Bill Murray's in it. So... It's like, wouldn't he...
I mean, there could be stuff in this movie that we haven't seen in the trailers that does tie it into the originals. But from what we've seen, the library scene and all that just feels like parts of the same movie done over again. So it does feel like a reboot.
You know what I could have gone with? I don't know if you remember the Ghostbusters cartoon that came out in the late 90s. Where Egon had students.
It sucked.
It wasn't horrible.
It sucked.
I found it entertaining, but I was a kid.
Some highly valuable toys came out of animated series, though.
What was the one that had the one
worth a lot of money?
Did it have a monkey in it or something?
I don't remember a monkey.
What's with you? And there's a monkey. Frank likes to spank monkeys. There's a monkey and Ghostbusters.
Monkeys freak me out.
Monkeys.
I went and saw Tarzan the other day.
Really?
It was actually pretty good.
I've heard it's talky though, like really talky.
Because it tells a story. It's like, what do you want? Tarzan running around going, "Oh,
yeah, but
Tarzan, you Jane."
I read a comparison that they compared it to that Russell Crowe Robin Hood from a few years ago where it's like there's 2 hours of talking and let's have some action at the end, we're done.
No, actually, there was
that's
quite a
what
few
I've heard
action
about it.
Because
I wanted
the
trailers
thing.
Look really good. I want to see it. And
they
I started reading
the
reviews.
The apes were done
like,
really good. Probably the same type of CGI that you saw in the new Planet of the Apes movies.
See, I'll wait for my ape movie next year when War of Planet of the Apes comes out.
The apes were done really good. I thought the whole movie was good.
But,
you know, I enjoyed it.
But going back, we got a little bit of tangent about Ghostbusters there, which is okay. But going back to Big Trouble in Little China, how great of a year was 1986? Now, you know, if you think
I love the 80s.
Big Trouble, 1986, man. The 80s sucked overall, mostly.
No,
okay?
It didn't. The 80s were awesome.
Bad hats and terrible music. 80s sucked.
And did you have to pay bills and have a job?
But Big Trouble in Little China.
So the 80s rocked.
Big Trouble in Little China, Top Gun, and Aliens, all in 1986.
Wow.
Is there a better three films in 1 year? It'd be hard. You'd have to really think about it.
Classics.
I'm sure there is. But I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But those three in that year, unbelievable. Wow. You know, when you start to think about it. You know, you look like you're going
to
say something, Matt. It's
he's
only
been thinking. He's
I'm
got
trying
this
to think
on
of 91. Because 90, was it 91 or 92
okay,
we got
I think,
Terminator 2?
I think the 90s, though, you start getting into the popcorn era. Mm-hmm. I think the 80s, back in the 80s, there were maybe 50 films released a year. So I think to say you had a year where you had three amazing, and then Highlander was in 86.
Oh, I love Highlander.
So you're talking four films, okay? You started getting into the 91, 92 territory with Jurassic Parks and Terminators. You start getting to 100 films a year. Now it's like 200, 300 films a year. So I think the 90s is a different era if you're looking for three films, you know, that really stand out.
I know
out.
I'm getting off track. Where did you see Highlander at the first time? Was it DVD or the actual theater?
No, it was probably on home TV or something similar to Big Trouble.
See, I remember a friend of mine, Oscar, taking me to see it at a dollar theater. Yeah, actually, pretty close to where you grew up at.
I think I was a latecomer with Highlander. I think I discovered it very late, almost closer when the TV show hit in the mid-90s.
I don't think it was like when it first came out, because I remember seeing that and The Last Dragon, like a double feature for a dollar.
It's possible. But if it was The Last Dragon, it might have been like Highlander 2 or something back then.
It might have been. Yeah. But I know I've seen, it was my cousin Becky who took me to see the first Highlander.
Yeah.
That's right.
But 86 was a hell of a year.
What about 94? Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption, Pulp Fiction.
Okay, 94 was a great year for those three last films you released. Mm-hmm. Arguably, all three of them could have won Best Picture. But Jim Carrey, no.
Look, I love Jim Carrey, but not everything he's done. He's done one great movie to me, and that was Man on the Moon.
99, The Phantom Menace, Matrix, Three Kings, John Malkovich.
Well, I said the 90s were a different era because you started getting more movies released in theaters. The 80s, didn't have that,
I think you're right.
I mean, you know, because now you could go the last 15 years since the new century started, and you could pick out 3 or 4 or 10 films every year now.
I think the 80s were more of the dollar theater decade, where more people were waiting for the dollar theater to go and see a movie.
77, you had Pumping Iron. You had Encounters of the Third Kind.
Dude, you can't even compare Pumping Iron and Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes, you can.
No, that's like touching yourself versus going to...
Arnold kind of talks about that.
You know, that's
he's like the pump. He's like, it feels like you're coming with a woman, so I'm coming at the gym, I'm coming at home.
It's been a while Arnold showed up on the show.
Yeah. No, that's like touching yourself versus like the most beautiful, gorgeous, hottest, sexiest woman in the world when it comes to Pumping Iron and Close Encounters. Close Encounters is by far one of the best sci-fi films of all times. That is like amongst my top three. And just depending on what I'm moving on.
Is the chair bothering you there? You feel like you're scratching your ass on the chair or something.
He's thinking
like
about Arnold, so his pants were getting happy.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
I'm moist. I'm trying to rub it out.
On that note, so 30 years of... Somehow we talk about 30 years of Big Trouble in Little China. We're talking about all kinds of... But that's okay. But 30 years since that movie's hit, I still love the movie so much. I can put Big Trouble in Little China in my player anytime.
And I
always love it. My wife kind of rags on me. She thinks it's kind of silly, stupid. But I think it's very much a movie if you did not...
I remember when you told me that.
If you didn't, like, it's very much a movie if you didn't either grow up watching it or, like Matt, you were able to discover it pretty early on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were old. You're younger, so you didn't see it in theaters, but do you remember the first time you maybe saw it? I mean, you've probably seen it over 10 years ago, huh?
It was like late 90s, early 2000s.
You know, and I think you have to be attuned to that stuff. If you were born after it came out, you have to be attuned into knowing what's cool.
Or having
a
cool uncle that got you into stuff like that.
And I wasn't giving you points there saying you're cool, because you're really not cool. But you're cool enough to know it.
My uncle Ted is. So
Uncle Ted has a Millennium Falcon from the 70s. So.
I just noticed you're even wearing a Ghostbusters shirt.
There we go. And a Suicide Squad hat with Harley Quinn on it. And the whole squad on the bottom of the bill.
Hey, man. No, can I go in that territory?
Okay. You know,
your woman?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, what's up, man? She said she dressed like Harley Quinn the other day.
She did, man.
And she doesn't listen to the show anyway.
She doesn't.
So did you knock it out of the park that night?
Yes,
you know,
I did.
A little role play.
And
there?
She
pretend like you were Batman?
No, not like that.
He was a Joker.
But she did it to rev the engine.
Got a little green on her lips.
To rev the engine.
Yeah, she did it to rev the engine.
Don't ever let her hear this because she'll kill us.
Yeah, okay? I know.
So what did you dress up as?
I was just myself. I was an innocent bystander.
Dude, you yourself are not good enough for Harley Quinn.
Nope.
So you had to dress up as somebody. With all the outfits that you own, you had to put on something.
I mean, I was John... alien Martian.
Sure, I love Jackie, but man, it's hard to beat Margot Robbie. But I mean, you know, but
hey,
she did it for you.
Hey, well, I'm sure
she did it for you. At least
I'm sure she's pulling off a lot better than a lot of other people who.
And now you know, if people see us at a future con or something, they're gonna be like, "Hey, there's that girl that if she's walking with you." No,
if we can ever get her to go to one,
I know, right?
So speaking of, it's been kind of slow news-wise, so we're not going to go a lot of news briefs. I just wanted to talk about Big Trouble in Little China because I love the film so much. Mm-hmm. But let's get into our post-comp Palooza coverage because we've been promising on our Facebook and stuff for a couple weeks with all our delays. So let's start you dressed as Hawkeye, cosplayed at the con this year.
Yep.
And if you saw our Facebook page, we had a lot of photos, or our Twitter account with Matt as Hawkeye, people holding up the sign saying, I'm a fan of Rebel Radio. And we appreciate anyone that did that for us. That was really cool. We appreciate you for walking around doing that, even if you were hot and sweaty, you know.
Luckily, and, they turned up the AC, but yeah, there were some parts of the con that was hot.
So, best moment of Con Palooza for all y'all. What was your favorite moment that you all enjoy this year?
I liked how the Aliens panel started out. That was pretty fun.
I wish it was longer, but man, it was surreal to me seeing Bill Paxton sitting on stage. Like me and Frank met Michael Biehn a few years ago,
right.
And Sigourney's cool, but like, see, but Bill Paxton, man, he's like that guy that feels like he could be your neighbor. Ah, what's up, Bill?
Yeah,
you know, like Bill's sort of like somebody you can have barbecue and have a beer
and
with.
Seeing Bill on stage, man, I was just like, it's Bill Paxton, man. Terminator, Aliens, Tombstone,
yep.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's
freaking Bill Paxton.
That was just cool. That was a surreal moment for me. And we've talked about this many times on the podcast before about we don't get too geeked out all the time. You know, we take celebrities in stride in what we do. We've been privileged to meet several of them.
Yeah.
And but that was cool seeing Paxton up there, man. I was like, man, it's Bill fucking Paxton.
Number one for me is getting to meet Eliza Dushku. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I went and I paid for the autograph. And it was cool. You know, I picked up her faith picture for her to sign, and she was holding a steak. Like she was ready. The picture is like
she a pork chop steak.
No, like a steak. Like she was ready about to slay a vampire. Oh, okay. And she's like, "You went straight up with the Slayer pick, didn't you?" And I was like, "Yep." I said, "You're my favorite Slayer over Buffy." And she just nodded. And she wrote down.
She was definitely hot.
Her favorite episode. And she was thicker back then.
She's still hot in person.
She's still hot.
Yeah. Like Tara Reid looked like freaky fake, man. Yeah, in person.
I didn't realize it was her.
Dude,
when
all
the
surgeries and stuff. I was just like, ugh.
At first,
I'm not being mean. I'm just saying it didn't look like her. Like
it's okay. You can be mean. She's not gonna listen to this.
They had her picture up there, you know, behind her, that looked like her that you recognized.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she was sitting there, I was like, is that the same person?
I guess that's what happens when you go from pies to Sharknadoes.
Okay. Yep. My turn. Anybody that knows me, I grew up watching wrestling. I've always known wrestling was fake. I like just the action and entertainment. It's kind of like if you go to the circus or watch gymnastics, you know, it's putting on a show.
Yeah.
They put on a show, and I love the job that they do. I've always thought it was cool. If I was physically at the time able to, and things were different like they are nowadays for a lot of people to get into wrestling, I probably would have gotten into wrestling. Back when I was growing up, you had to find some little hole in the wall to train you, mm-hmm. and then wrestle for like $5 a match if you were lucky, you know. Whereas nowadays, these guys get to go to these training centers and schools and everything. But I got to meet what I consider above Hulk Hogan, above everything other than Vincent McMahon, and what they have done for wrestling is Ric Flair. I got to get his autograph. You don't understand. He is my all-time favorite wrestler. Then I would have to say probably Triple H and then Sting as far as like people that I admire when it comes to wrestling. And Triple H and Ric Flair are good friends, and I think they're good friends because they both had the same mind of promoting the business, raising it up to that next level, raising the talent up to that next level. And doing what it needs to do to keep this industry alive, you know.
Damn, Frank. Did you shake his hand? Did you wet your pants?
Oh, I wish I could have sit there and talked to him. You know, or at least got to woo with him. But I just paid for an autograph.
He ignored
a
the wet pants comment. Yeah,
well, yeah, I know. I ignore a lot of stuff you'll say.
I just kept moving, you know, because I didn't want to stand there and freak her out. I know you don't want to stand there and like freak.
But
her
I felt bad
out.
Because I didn't have enough money because you know.
Oh, the photo op.
We'll get to why some of the stuff we bought while we were there, and this is probably why. I felt bad because I didn't get an autograph from Arn Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of felt like, dude, I admire like the job that you've done. You've been a great part of wrestling. So when I kind of like did get an autograph for him, I was like, kind of felt a little guilty in a sense. Like, you didn't matter. But he does matter because he's one of the best four horsemen next to, you know, Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I walked away from Con Palooza this year. I didn't do an autograph. And actually,
money. He had money left.
I've actually never paid for an autograph. Being that I'm on staff for Con Palooza, the couple of autographs I have gotten over the years, I've either done comic artists that don't charge. And the one year I took an artist to meet Danny Trejo, and that's how I got his autograph. But I've never been a big autograph seeker.
I thought you had an one of the artists do a drawing and sign it for you last year or the year before last.
No, I thought about doing James Abar that year, but he wanted way too much money.
I thought we waited in line for what? Did we wait in line
have a,
for?
A signing. I have an Abar print he signed. And that year George Perez was there, I thought about doing a sketch and I didn't. Now I kind of regret it, but I did get some George Perez books.
And what was
signed.
Your number one regret of autograph that you never got?
Well, Stan Lee, but you know.
And who got a copy for an autograph for Stan Lee? Of course, I don't have it. I gave it to my cousin.
That doesn't help me any, butt fuck.
My cousin has an autograph for Stan Lee for his 40th. Who's not going to get one for his 40th? Mark. That's who's not going to get
one.
What
an asshole.
Dude. That's horrible, man. That's bad.
You know, that's, and I just had a gut feeling last year was going to be the last time we got to see Stan Lee. And
can
then
we move
whenever
over,
he went
Stan Lee?
To his
he's
panel,
still alive. He's
no,
still
no,
alive.
But when he got to his panel after I got my autograph and then he mentioned that he wasn't going to be back, I was just like, whoa, I'm glad I got that autograph when I did.
Well, anyways, since somebody's being a butt.
Yeah.
My celebrity moment this year came late Sunday afternoon. Sean Patrick Flannery, we had gone to the panel for the Boondock Saints, and it was a really funny panel, despite Norman Reedus, who decided to sign instead of going to his panel, which is okay. I'm fine with that. He wanted to sign for the fans.
Did you see his line? When we got out, it was huge.
Him and Charlie Hunnam, man, my God. For what people that don't know, we're not, because I work with Complues, I'm not really supposed to talk about the other con in Houston that had problems, but everyone knows it had issues, and Charlie Hunnam walked out of the con. So they invited him back to Compalooza, and he made things right by honoring the autograph tickets from that con. And his line was ridiculous.
It was.
Him and Sigourney Weaver had Stan Lee-sized lines.
Yep.
And Charlie Hunnam, he also was going to do a Q&A, which he skipped. He stayed all day to sign. He was there all day Saturday and all day Sunday, almost till close, signing
which
autographs.
Which I think is cool.
Which is most respect to Charlie Hunnam, Jackson Teller from Sons of Anarchy, which I just started watching, and a really good show. And so my celebrity moment, though, came from I went up to Sean Patrick Flannery on Sunday afternoon. He wasn't too busy. It was winding down. And I said, hey, man, I know you guys don't do interviews at the table because y'all are the A-listers. And I said, but will you cut us a promo for the podcast? And he said, yeah, man, I'll cut you a promo. And so we have a promo now on our podcast from Sean Patrick Flannery. And that was really cool of him.
It was.
He didn't have to do it, but he did. And so we have that. I played it at the beginning of the show. And so y'all heard that now. And I have one I'm going to play at the end of the show I got from Clifton Collins Jr., who took about four tries to get it right, but he finally got it right. He was very tired. It was his birthday that Sunday.
I'll
play that one for you at the end of the show.
Did the one for Chuck Huebner work?
Yes, I have that one too. Okay. We're going to do the Chuck Huebner interview here in a little bit. So that was kind of my celebrity moment in Compalooza. As far as other things, what's some cool stuff y'all buy?
I got a Margot Robbie Harley Quinn poster for, well, print. It's a big print for my wife, and I also got a Wonder Woman.
Did you pick up the Wonder Woman?
I did.
I kept pointing out all these dang different Wonder Womans, and you never told me you got one.
I went to the same guy that drew, I think he drew my Winter Soldier one last year.
Okay, your Winter Soldier was pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. And I really like that artist. They, he uses current superheroes. It's nothing. He doesn't use a whole lot of classic stuff other than I think I saw a 66 Batman at one point. But it's really good work, and I like the artwork there. I'm kind of kicking myself for not getting a signed EA from Chuck Huebner. I thought about it, and then I was like, I'm gonna go back, and he had left. So
yeah, that's what happens.
Well, Chuck's pretty easy to get, being that he lives in Dallas and he comes to Houston a lot. So maybe another time.
Yeah,
maybe not next year, but every other year he might show up.
Yeah, maybe so. So what's something? I know Frank, you kind of told people already in our live show that you got your Ultra Saber, whatever it was you bought. What else? Something you picked up at Compalooza?
Well, I picked up my actually that was it.
That's all you bought? Well, those freaking things were expensive.
Well, last year, I picked up a lot of cool artwork. It's still hanging up in my hobby room, as you want to call it. It's more like my junk room because you can't get in there because of all my hobby stuff all over the place. But this year I just bought me some Ultra Sabers. I picked up me I went on the website like 2 weeks before Comic Palooza and started going through there and building my own saber. And sure enough, I get to Comic Palooza and they pretty much, other than the turn switch on and off switch, everything was exactly like I wanted it.
Awesome.
I just upgraded it to the heavy duty blade so that Matt and I can be dorks and clash and blades together. Mark, no comment on that. And
whatever you guys want to touch together.
My wife was really cool because at the end of the con, she still had some money left, and I was going to get a little one so that Mark's son, Michael, could play, and my little nephew could play as well whenever I took it over there. So I was going to get a little kid's one, you know, like a 24-inch blade or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get there, and they had a Jedi saber, and the actual thing was $10 less than the kid's size. So for the kid's size, I upgraded the blade, you know, to the heavy-duty one, and it was like a 36-inch blade. So now I got a Jedi, a green saber, and a red saber.
Nice.
You know, so, yeah, they're pretty cool. I mean, they light up the house. Like, I can have my house pitch dark.
Compensate much, Frank.
And they light up the whole thing. So, that was pretty cool. So, yeah, basically that's all I bought, and I still wind up broke when I left there.
What about you, Mark?
I picked up, I didn't pick up a whole lot this year. I picked up a few, I love Dollar Bin comics. I found a couple more. I like movie adaptions, like old 80s movie adaptions.
Yes, he does.
Back then they used to buy, they used to make movie adaptions in comics for like everything. Because if you were doing a movie based on a comic book story, the comic book store was the closest thing you had to pick you up to promoting that movie back then. So there are a lot of movies in the 80s had comics, and I found a copy of a Superman 3. You know, the movie adaption, The Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah.
Old RoboCop movie adaption.
Oh,
so I picked
up
those.
They kept going on about that all
those
weekend.
Those were cool. And I picked
they were pretty cool.
I picked up the original Superpowers miniseries, the all five issues, which was based on the toy line. And what's cool about it, every cover is done by the great Jack Kirby. And then the fifth issue is completely drawn by him. And obviously, if anyone who's ever read a comic book in their life knows who Jack Kirby is, he knows he needs no introduction. Next to Stan Lee, he's the next god in comics. And he, of course, Jack is no longer with us. And his stuff is just, yeah, I mean, he is responsible as much as Stan Lee.
Now, his son does a lot of artwork, right?
For everything we've done today. I think his sons, you might be thinking of the Kuberts who do a lot of stuff. Joe Kubert and his sons. I think Kirby, one of his sons, may be out there doing some stuff.
Was an artist.
They might be, but I mean, so that was really cool. They were a buck each, the Superpowers miniseries. I picked up a really cool 90s style X-Men piece which I've been looking for, and that was really cool. And then I picked up a couple of pops, Flash Gordon and Ming the Merciless. You know, I'd been looking for those, and along with Big Trouble in Little China, I didn't know Flash Gordon pops existed until a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So I picked those up. And,
oh, I did pick up some pops. I forgot about
that. Yeah,
those.
You got like G.I. Joe pops. I was with you when you got them. We got them at the same place where I got the Ming.
Yeah, Star.
So I bought a few things. And overall, I had a good time. I mean, I think Compalooza was great again this year. I know they set records for attendance. They had a lot of NASA was there with their what's the name of the ship? The Orion. The Orion was there.
I wonder if Jenny was there last year. Jenny on. She has a. She's Jenny on console is the one that gave me her number.
That was the hot assistant from the one astronaut.
It was the hot assistant.
Well, she was there?
Yeah, I bet she was. I need to look at her Twitter page.
I got to talk to one of the guys who was that works for Comic Palooza, Mark knows him. What's his name? That basically got NASA there.
Oh, Jason.
Jason, yeah. I mean, it's amazing what it was started off from and to what it is now. Like, I walked over there, and the stuff they had for NASA just blew my mind. You know, Mark gives me crap because I'm one of those conspiracy people about the whole moon landing thing, but I still love NASA, without the doubt. I still love it. I still think it's all cool. It's something that you should definitely, if you live here in Houston or in the surrounding area or even the state of Texas, you should take your kids to see.
And I think that NASA did a great job. I also think that the 501st, which we talked very briefly about on our live show.
Yes.
In the past, the 501st is always there, but I always felt like they never brought it. They had a couple stormtroopers there, the typical Boba Fett. This year, the 501st brought it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they had a great Emperor cosplay, the Emperor's Royal Guard, the camouflage stormtroopers, the Captain Phasma, the old guy who does Obi-Wan Kenobi, who took a picture of my son. Mm-hmm. The 501st does a lot of great things for charity and their Star Wars cosplay and everything. And this year, they were extraordinary. Their fan group this year was just freaking awesome. And everyone was gathered around their table taking photos and all that stuff. And the poor Ghostbusters and other fan tables were just sitting there like, We're just chilling.
I love the Mandalorian.
Yeah, the 501st did great this year.
They were awesome. If you notice, I put that on my Facebook. That's on my Facebook cover is the Mandalorian. Yeah, that was so cool.
The whole con was fantastic. Conpalooza, and I don't say this just because I'm a part of it as their blogger. I just think it's a great con for Houston. I think John Simons, the CEO of Conpalooza, does a great job of bringing a really great con to Houston. It gets better every year.
It does.
I think this year, my only beast with it was I wish they had a few more comic art guests, maybe a little bit more known. Maybe a little bit more known comic guests. Like they had Mike, I can't remember his name. The guy did Black Costume Spider-Man, John Ostrander,
right?
But
there was no Stan Lee,
Mark Verheiden. But the guests they had weren't familiar with today's audiences,
right?
You didn't have a Greg Capullo there or a Mike Mignola, no one that's more familiar. You had older comic guests this year, and that's my one beef with it. And then I think they spent a lot of money on the A-list celebrities for the Aliens cast and Boondock Saints, and you didn't have as many B-list celebrities where people could afford the $40 autographs.
Right.
All your $40 autographs were like wrestlers or YouTube stars or
the Hulk.
There weren't enough accessible people. Mm-hmm. There weren't enough accessible B-listers, I think, which is fine. I'm glad they went after Michael Rooker and Sigourney and everybody and the A-listers. But sometimes you got to think about the people that can't spend $100 on an autograph.
But I think in the process of bringing the Aliens cast and all these people, that they're like, hey, look at what we're committed to for a future down the line. Like next year when they bring other celebrities, that it'll draw more attendance and more people showing up. So that they can also bring these big celebrity names,
overall,
these A-listers,
it's a great con, and
bring all the B-listers, and even bring the artists.
And next year, it's the 40th anniversary of Star Wars.
Ooh.
So maybe Conpalooza will go after some Star Wars
guys. What if Mark Hamill?
Oh.
Sorry, no Guido, because he's dead.
Mark Hamill I will pay for.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
I'd pay for his artist.
You know who looks like Mark Hamill?
Oh, no.
Mark
don't,
Hamill?
No.
Oh, yes,
we're
he
not
does.
Going there.
Yes, he does.
It's Photoshop, dude.
Sebastian Stan.
We're not going there. It's Photoshop. It's something somebody put on the internet. It's 15 minutes of fame was over.
If you put it on the internet,
a month ago when Civil War came off.
And Matt, I would look like Ron Jeremy if people photoshopped me. So
we did we have some interviews
upstairs
to play.
Downstairs.
A lot of photoshopping, but it's possible.
We have some interviews to play for you.
Yes.
The first one we're going to do is, you guys weren't with me. This happened Sunday afternoon. I was with a friend of the show, Rob Zip. Did you meet Rob? I know Frank's met Rob. Rob's a really super nice guy, okay?
Yes.
And me and Rob are standing there, and we were going to try to interview. Well, Frank, you were over there.
Y'all didn't interview him.
Well, no, we were going to try to interview Alan Oppenheimer, who did the voice of Skeletor. Me and Frank were going to do it.
And we got trumped by them sons of bitches.
Well, Justin Miguel jumped in, and he had just done it. So we're like, well, he's an older guy. We won't do it. So me and Rob are standing there, and there's this guy with this mask on, right? It's like black and white down the middle, and this very pretty lady standing with him. And me and Rob are like, man, what is that? Creepypasta Jr. is what it says up there. And we're both like, that's really weird, man. It looks freaky. So Rob was like, you want to go interview him? I'm like, I guess. And Rob's like, do you mind me helping? I was like, no, go ahead, Rob. So me and Rob went over there, and Rob kind of led the interview, helped out Rebel Radio. We interviewed, I didn't know YouTube stars was a thing. I mean, I knew it was a thing because I noticed people making money off of advertisement and stuff. But to bring it to a con and put it with the celebrities, I thought that was strange.
Right.
It's like, why couldn't they have a table over like an artist alley, you know?
Yeah, like
or with
the cosplayers
with a fan group
or something.
Yeah, it was a little weird. And so me and Rob went up to him, and we talked to him, and they said, yeah, we do an interview. And amazingly, despite the kind of creepiness the guy had
going
on with the mask,
cool.
Very cool, very open about what they did, very nice and polite, and the mask was just a thing. He likes to keep his identity sealed. It's a character he plays. They were very open, and so I'm sorry I don't have their... But if you YouTube search Creepypasta Jr., you'll find it, and hers is something else, and it's linked to it. And
I'm sure in the interview they let you know.
And if you go on the website, if you're listening to this on your iTunes, I will have the link inside the information for where to go see them. I'll put that up. I just don't know off the top of my head. So the link is there to go visit their YouTube. And what it is they read stories and creepy stories, and they use visuals, background visuals on their YouTube. And it's kind of the gist of it. And she does some stuff too. Her name was like Miss Lovely Shadow, I think, somebody like that. So this is the interview that me and Rob did with Creepypasta Jr. and her. And enjoy it. And we'll be right back after you hear this interview.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Creepypasta Jr. I'm a horror YouTuber, and I tell scary stories on the internet, which are creepypastas. Yeah.
And I'm Miss Shadow Lovely. I'm also a YouTuber. I'm more of a mixed media YouTuber, but I do do the same thing. The creepypastas, telling scary stories, mostly voice work. So basically voiceover work, but on the internet.
Okay. Okay, so that's why they have you next to Alan Oppenheimer, because you guys do voice
and stuff, right?
And the boy bands. Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
It was weird that they were here in the first place, the Backstreet Boys and stuff. I was like, what?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
So are you guys based in Houston, or would you rather not say where you're based? Or
we could say we're in Texas.
Yeah, we're
you
Texas
are in
based.
Texas.
We're
in
most
Texas.
Of the cons we frequent are all Texas-based. We do a couple in Louisiana, but mostly Texas just because it's easy to get to.
Yeah.
Wow. So I saw some people come up. You know, people know who you are, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't know who you guys are, and maybe some of our listeners don't either.
Right.
So you guys... read stories?
We're narrators.
You're narrators.
Yeah, we narrate scary stories, urban legends. Do you know what Slender Man is?
Yes.
Yeah. We tell his story and all the scary stories.
Not exclusively.
Not exclusively, but stories like him where he's just really weird and creepy and strange. We narrate those stories with special effects, and we make it into a YouTube video.
Like old-style radio broadcasts, like radio
like the radio shows.
Dramas, basically. And horror is the general.
That's kind of cool, because every now and then, me and my wife will actually go on the internet and listen to old-time radio shows. So Flash Gordon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We like it, so that's kind of really neat.
Yeah.
So that's kind of your inspiration for it.
Yes, exactly.
And I got, like, hundreds of videos. There's a different scary story for everyone, you know. And whatever you're scared of, I'm sure I got a video for it. So it's clowns or bugs or whatever. Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Just search through your YouTube page and you'll find it.
Yep.
Creepypasta Jr.
Yes.
And Elizabeth Sweet, Miss Shadow Lovely.
Miss Shadow Lovely.
Yes.
I don't know why it says my real name on there.
So that's, you know,
that's
my real name, but I don't know why it says it on the back.
It should say.
It should say Shadow Lovely.
Yes.
Oops.
And I'm in the guidebook twice. I'm in there as Elizabeth Sweet and then as Miss Shadow Lovely. And I'm like, I hope they don't expect me to do twice as much stuff.
So for our listeners, where will they find us up on YouTube? With the YouTube channel names?
Is our names.
Is your name?
Creepypasta Jr. and Miss Shadow Lovely.
Oh, okay.
If you want to listen to it, just punch it in. We'll pop up.
Okay.
And feel free to browse. And
we'll definitely be the first results when you search those. So you won't have any confusion about like what's going on.
Yeah.
So YouTube stars, it's a thing.
It is a thing.
It's a thing. And I know if you have like a certain number of subscribers, you can use like YouTube studios they have set up around. Are you guys to that point?
I'm actually currently working with YouTube. Basically, they have like workshops all around the country, and you can get an invite, and then you come and you kind of brainstorm with a lot of other YouTubers. Now, he tends to stay away from that just because he stays anonymous, and that's part of his thing.
Yeah.
That's why the cover
it's all
face
about the
voice.
Yes, he is wearing, for the listeners, he is wearing a mask.
Yeah.
But
it's all about the voice. Like, you'll never see my face on any of my YouTube videos or anything. It's all just audio only.
Yeah, so
because you're playing a character.
Yeah.
And your character is... Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely.
And I'm attractive, so I tend to use that to my advantage, so that's why I don't wear a mask. That's when people ask us, that's always my go-to answer, is I'm easy to look at, so.
Did you just call him ugly? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, under here, there could just
he could
be
look
a
like
nightmare.
Dead, like Deadpool.
Like Deadpool, yeah, exactly.
Like, you have no idea.
I look like, was it Hugh Jackman?
Wow.
Or Jackman? I don't know.
Yeah. No, an avocado.
Avocado.
Topographical map of...
Now, do you guys always dress the same, or do you change your outfits?
Well, luckily we have a laundry set, a washer and a dryer. But usually it's about the same. The mask for him is always the same.
I always wear the mask and the sleeves because I have tattoos. And,
that are very identifiable.
Sure.
Tattoos, but just t-shirt jeans.
Good. And those are just like sport.
Yeah, they're just compression sleeves, like for baseball or something. Paid $20 at an academy.
But it does the job.
Yeah, it works.
Nobody knows what he looks like except for me, unfortunately. But yeah, I used
so
to...
you guys are like a team?
Yes.
A partnership of
we live together. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I drag him with me places.
Yeah, she handles all the cons.
Am I breaking through a wall that people don't know, or do people already know?
No, people know we're an item.
Okay. We're
together.
Do you guys do things together, or you do separate?
We have separate YouTube channels.
We have separate YouTube
channels,
but we collaborate.
Together,
You collaborate.
Like, most female voices on his channel are me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And vice versa. Most male voices on my channel are him.
Yeah.
I got you.
It really helps just turning around and being like, hey, can you say this line.
Right. Now, I understand the audio part,
right.
But when you're on YouTube, what do you see? Like, you put up like images?
It used to be just a creepy static image relating to the story that we were telling, but now we started incorporating video clips and stuff like that, or loops of videos, like just static.
We've done some live action.
So, but yeah, we're still growing. We're constantly learning and adapting and
turning into short films.
But what we generally find is that people who do are like big fans of us. They just kind of put on our playlists and then they just listen to it while they're doing other stuff. Okay. So the visual isn't as big of a deal. And like when we go to conventions, we usually perform live, and what we do is we like turn off the light so it's dark, and then we just narrate so you hear it coming over the speakers and whatnot. So it's more of an audio experience.
Yeah.
Okay. But you use YouTube because it's free,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I completely understand that as a podcaster when I was paying to put just audio clips up.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I did a live YouTube show using Google Plus Hangouts.
Hangouts
is awesome because when you have several people, it automatically switches the camera.
Yep. It makes it a lot easier.
I'm kind of going off on my own thing. I apologize.
So,
Creepypasta, YouTube, Creepypasta Jr.
Yes.
Miss Shadow Lovely.
Yeah.
Anything else maybe that you want listeners of Rebel Radio to know?
If you like creepy stuff, check us out.
Everyone loves science fiction.
Yeah.
I do a lot of science fiction horror stories, like people getting stranded in space and losing their minds and stuff like that.
We cover a lot of sci-fi pop culture movies.
They are some of my favorite stories I've ever narrated. And all the stories I find are user-generated. Someone types it up and just puts it on the internet, and I contact the author, and I'm like, hey, would it be cool if I narrated the story? And they're like, yeah, sure, yeah. As long as you credit me, of course.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's awesome. And I know there are a lot of writers here.
Yes.
That would be great. That's a great idea.
Exactly.
You guys have good voices.
Thank you. I'm losing mine.
Yeah. I'm losing my voice, so you can't really tell what I sound like.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
So, we understand. Sunday. We've got some voice actor friends over there who are hurting, too. It's all the talking all week doing the voices. Just murder on your vocal cords.
Yeah, we interviewed Chuck Huber, and he was like, I can barely talk.
Yeah, that's one of our buddies.
Well, I see you do have some fans waiting to meet you.
Yeah.
So thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
I look forward to checking out your shows. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on.
Cool, appreciate it for being on. Thank you so much.
Rebel Radio, thank you.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
So that was an interview with Creepypasta Jr. that Rob Zip. Thank you, Rob, for helping me out. And Rob's a good guy. We may have to have Rob in studio one time or do something and have him do a show with us.
Definitely.
Because Rob is a former podcaster, and he admitted he kind of missed it, but he doesn't want to do it full time. He kind of would like to just maybe do a show with people now and then. So thank you, Rob, for coming on with us and doing that interview with the Creepypasta Jr. And, man, I wish I had her name in front of me. I want to say it was Miss Lovely Shadow, but like I said, I'll have it up in the description on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com on the news post for today's episode. So we have a couple more interviews we did. Sunday afternoon, it was getting late in the show. You were gone. I think you had to take off already.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the biscuit here, so I just went in.
I was watching, what was it? I don't know where you were Sunday afternoon.
So Ming Chen of AMC's Comic Book Men, who we've had on the show before a couple of times. Ming is always cool. He's a fellow podcaster. Okay. I sell comics with Mike Zapsik on the Smodcast Network. Obviously, he's on AMC's Comic Book Men. Mike wasn't there this year. Ming is always welcome to going to other people's shows. So I went to interview him, and unfortunately, the interview is very short. He had a photo op coming up, so he had to go, and it kind of threw me off. It's not the best interview I've done. We talked really quick. It wasn't like the one we did at Fanfare where we spoke to Ming for like 20 minutes. So this is just a quick interview, kind of an update as to what was going on with Ming and coming back for AMC's Comic Book Men Season 6. They are doing another season, so that's really cool because I like the show. And so
he is always so nice to everybody.
Yeah, he's always cool.
He's like a person like he has on the show, somebody you could just have fun with and joke around.
Well, because yes, he's a celebrity to an extent now because of the show, but he's also just one of us. He's like, man, I'm a guy who podcasts and works in a comic book shop, you know.
And he never job that we all
he never forgets that, you know. He's always open to taking photos and hanging out. He loves Houston. He has family here. He's always in Houston early and hanging out a week after practically. And he's already he told me he'll be back next year for sure. So he loves coming here. So this is our Rebel Radio podcast interview with Ming Chen of AMC. He's Comic Book Man.
Photo op in like 4 minutes.
Oh, really?
Supposedly.
Okay.
4:10.
Okay.
We'll do 5 minutes. Okay. That's good.
Let's do it.
All right, Ming. Welcome back to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Welcome back to Compalooza.
Thank you very much.
Man, it's always a pleasure to have you. I saw you out partying last night, having a good time with the people of Houston.
It was.
You know, and so how's it been this year?
It's been amazing. It really has. I'm a huge Aliens fan, so.
It was surreal, wasn't it?
The first thing you do when you go to a con is like, ooh, who else is going to be there? I want to meet them. And then the cast of Aliens, like, come on.
In your business, you've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of people, but every now and then it's surreal. You kind of geek out and seeing Bill Paxton. It's like, wow, it's Bill Paxton.
That was crazy. Sigourney Weaver was mind blowing for sure.
Yeah,
it was pretty awesome.
And, it's fun to geek out and that kind of stuff. And then I saw that Compliment is going to be back.
We will, yes.
It's weird. AMC is kind of more quieter than the other networks about what they renew. And I saw it, I think, through your Twitter feed or something.
Yeah. I think they told Kevin. Kevin told the world, and I grabbed off of his stuff. So
So y'all start filming yet? Or?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's funny because, you know, Space Cadets here in Houston, she was on y'all's show.
Yeah.
And I talked to her yesterday about that. It was kind of interesting.
Yep.
And so what else have you been up to?
Since we talked to you. Lots of cons. Yeah. I love going to conventions.
And they left you solo this weekend.
Yeah, I don't need them. Yeah. You know, I'm all right doing this myself.
Yeah, Mike maybe, but you know.
Yeah, Mike's a fun guy. He'll hang out and he'll have fun. But.
And, so anything besides Aliens cast, who else did you want to meet this weekend?
I mean, it's always good seeing Michael Rooker and Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
I mean, they're at a lot of cons that I'm at, but they're still icons.
Yeah. And then me and my wife, I didn't realize how big Charlie Hunnam was.
Oh, yeah.
We started watching Sons, and I'm like, I can see why he's so, you know.
Yeah, he's definitely beloved. But we have a lot of Comic Con alumni here, like Lou Ferrigno, Peter Mayhew.
All right.
It'd be cool to get David Prowse on the show one day.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So what else are you doing besides Comic Book Man and cons lately? Anything new on the horizon?
Nah, eating, drinking. Podcasting. Yes. A lot of podcasting.
I know you come to Houston for the brewery. Have you been visiting breweries while you're here?
St. Arnold, definitely.
Have you been to Carbach yet?
No, not this trip. I have heard about it. Yes.
Yeah, that's another popular one.
I have been there.
Opened up one called Eighth Wonder.
Yeah, not that far from here. I'd love to check that out.
And I haven't checked it out
yet.
Big
fan of Eighth Wonder Rocket Fuel.
Yeah. I tried their Dome Foam because everyone's like, it's like the old Astrodome beer. Yeah. No, it's not.
No.
Not really. It's, no.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the Astrodome days, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, it didn't taste like the Dome Foam.
Right.
You know. So what else have you done while you're in Houston?
Drink coffee, drink cocktails, you know, get in trouble and...
And I saw that you got talked into moderating Michael Rooker's panel today.
Yeah, I actively volunteered for it. We did it a few, 3 weeks ago. We were in Chicago.
Okay.
And it was me, Mike, and Brian. So it's pretty unheard of to have three moderators for one, guest. But it took all three of us to kind of...
I unfortunately missed today. I wanted to. It seemed like he's a lot of fun.
He is insane. Yeah, I mean, he'll go out in the crowd and you know he's great. He's a great panelist.
A friend of mine and become a friend of yours, Carrie. I saw that they gave you a custom Funko Pop.
Yes,
this weekend.
Yeah,
how
Carrie
cool
Gordon,
is that?
Metal Geeks. It's a dream come true. I've been after Funko to make Comic Book Man pops.
Just call Kevin. Hey
years.
Man,
we need and he's got two of them. He's got a Kevin and a Silent Bob.
Right.
And there's definitely a Jay out there. So, I wish it was as easy as him making a call, but sometimes, I tweeted it to Funko. I'm like, hey, man, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. People would buy it.
So I know when we talked...
I would buy it.
When we talked back in September, we talked movies, because, you know, did you see anything? I know you saw Star Wars.
I did see Star Wars. I saw Civil War.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw a lot of stuff. So.
And you enjoyed them?
I did.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Spider-Man was cool. Star Wars was cool. And, so Comic Man will be back in October when Walking Dead comes back.
Yeah, October when Walking Dead comes back.
Yeah, usually last year they hold the premiere like a week later for some reason because Walking Dead was an hour and a half.
Something like that. Actually, yes, they did do that. Yeah,
so it'll probably be in October around Halloween.
They'll be back. Yeah, no, I think we're actually matching their schedule. So
okay, that's good. I'm really excited that it's coming back because I love the show.
Yeah.
And why did they take it on Netflix? Do you know? Except for one season.
I don't have a direct line to Mr. Netflix.
I was like, because I missed a few, and I'm like, why did they take it off?
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you knew.
No, never. Don't know anything about Mr. Netflix. So
you come to these cons, do you buy anything? Do you shop too?
I try not to.
So you don't end up with too much stuff?
Exactly. I don't need more stuff. But
yeah, that's how I feel.
With that being said, you know, I always see stuff that I like. So.
Yeah, of course. And, well, I don't know what anything else is going on. I mean, we talk so much, we feel like we're buds now.
Yeah, we are.
I just want to get a few moments with you.
Brothers in podcasting, man.
Oh, yeah, man. And that's what's so cool. And I listen to ISO Comics every week.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm a couple episodes behind because the end of school year, things are busy. But I need to get caught up on it because I love listening to you and Mike's banter. And
thank you.
And I don't read comics as much as I used to. Right. So if I listen to you guys, I can kind of keep up with what's going on and stuff. Because, again, too much stuff. I can't keep buying comics. Yep. You know, I read trades and stuff more now, you know.
Exactly.
And so, thank you, though, for supporting podcasting so much and Comic Palooza.
Absolutely.
And,
hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, snooch to the nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
So that was our interview with Ming Chen of AMC's Comic Book Man. Thanks so much, Ming, for coming on the show again.
Yes, thank you very much.
I mean, I don't know if he'll hear this, but he might. And he's so great on social media. I know if I tag him in this show, he'll retweet it. He always does that. So he's great about supporting the shows he comes on. And one of the last interview we did at Comic Palooza, we didn't do as many this year, but it was just, like we said earlier, they weren't as accessible. It was a little harder to get interviews this year. It was so busy Saturday, you couldn't have interviewed people.
Oh, my God. I think because it was a shorter weekend.
Right.
Friday was, like, insane compared. Normally, Friday was, like, a light day compared, you know, on normal because people were like, oh, it's a four-day weekend because normally we have it on, what, Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. So a lot of people just stay at work and come for a little bit and then figure they got Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday to go through, but... With no Monday, it was busy Friday. I was like, this is crazy at this time of the day.
So we interviewed Chuck Huber, who is the voice of Android 18, right?
Android 17.
Android 17 on Dragon Ball Z.
Android 18 is a chick.
On Dragon Ball Z, and he's done a lot of other voices. He also does some regular acting, too. He also is behind the camera. And this was a lot of fun. I didn't know how it would turn out. Thankfully, I had you there, Matt, because you're much more versed in that stuff than I am.
Yeah, you're much more of a nerd than we are.
Well, you know, he just knows his anime and that stuff.
That's what I'm talking about.
I used to watch a lot of anime in high school, but it was more movies and stuff. I never got into TV shows. Ninja Scroll, Akira.
Now, see, I watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z, but I didn't watch the other stuff that he's done.
But even Frank...
Yu Yu Hakusho.
Right, I didn't watch that.
It was my favorite anime that he's done.
I'm more of a Dragon Ball Z person.
Even Frank remembers, like, when he first met me, I would watch anime movies. Frank's the one who kind of got me to sit down and watch Gundam because I didn't really never thought about watching an anime TV series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and...
Gundam's cool.
You know, and... Love and Gundam. Chuck was a lot of fun, man. He does a lot of funny voices on this for us, on this interview. He took some really cool selfies with us afterwards, which...
A lot of fun.
I mean,
selfies.
Like three of the greatest pictures I've ever taken with celebrities. Just a lot of fun.
It was all his idea.
Yeah. So. He
took them all.
He's just so authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really down to earth. You know, he was a really cool guy. I love this interview. I mean,
but not just with us. He did that to the the fans in front of us.
Yeah. And, you know, and as podcasters, we do this as a hobby and for fun. We're not professionals. We're not Chris Hardwick. We're not Kevin Smith.
We're not rich doing this.
We do the interviews the best we can. Sometimes we say a lot or something. But Chuck is one of those guys that didn't make me, not that Ming Chen did either, or even some of the other people I have, but sometimes you're interviewing a celebrity, like especially at the press junket last year, sometimes they give you a look like, you know, okay, you're not quite know what you're doing, right? You know what I mean, Frank?
Right. But last year's press junket, we were kind of just going with
That was crazy.
Unfortunately, we were kind of looking forward to doing one this year because we felt like, okay,
it didn't work out.
But
man, was just so cool about it. He didn't care that we just were podcasters. He was supportive, and he did a great interview for us. And I really hope you guys enjoy this interview with Chuck Huber.
And definitely, if he makes it back in town... You know,
if he makes it back in town, I'm getting a signed print, and I want him to do my voicemail.
again, thanks to you, Matt, the Electric Monkey, for being there for this interview.
Yes.
Because I don't think it would have turned out as good with just me and Frank, because sometimes me and Frank, and we understand you've got the old ball and chain stuff that keeps you sometimes from being at cons and interviews.
As long.
And so me and Frank might not handle this interview as well. So you handled it very well. Our interview for the Rebel Radio Podcast with Chuck Huber of Dragon Ball Z fame and other anime voices and stuff.
Hiya, Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, we're recording.
All right.
All right, welcome to Rebel Plate Radio Podcast, and we are talking to Chuck Huber, who has voiced a lot of stuff, Dragon Ball Z, several other animations, and Matt from the show is our resident Dragon Ball Z expert here.
So, Chuck, welcome, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me on the show. Because you're human, I'm going to have to kill you. That's what androids do.
Yeah.
Dr. Stein is also going to dissect you.
And I know this isn't your first Comicpalooza, but are you having a good time?
Yes, this is an amazing show. It's probably one of my favorite shows that I do every year.
Yeah. So what are you doing currently right now? Are you doing anything fun? Or what's
going
on?
Right now I am promoting my movie, Arbor Day the Musical, starring Vic Mignogna, another voice actor, Brina Palencia, another voice actress. But it's, you know, a live action, awesome movie that is on Amazon and Amazon Prime right now. And I can't really tell you anything else about it except that it might be incredibly controversial. But not really. I don't know. People watch it and they're like, I thought I was going to hate it and I ended up loving it. Or I was horrified that I was laughing. So it's got, if you like dark humor that makes you awkwardly uncomfortable and then spit milk out your nose, this is the movie for you. Arbor Day the Musical on Amazon.
Good. You know, Dragon Ball Z has been around for what? 20 years now or more?
And now we just started back up with Dragon Ball Super.
My 7-year-old is starting to get into it. And what do you think about the phenomenon of something like that? Because there's very few things that were started out overseas have taken off like that here. But anime continues to grow. And what do you think about that?
I think it's amazing. It's funny because when I started DBZ, I thought it was a joke. I thought the company was like rinky-dink. I didn't think it would be anything. I was like, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing. And then it turned out to be this worldwide phenomenon that has been the major part of my career in terms of notoriety and, you know, being recognized. So it turned from something initially that I thought was silly, and then it wasn't until I went to a convention for Hiei, for Yu Yu Hakusho, and suddenly they were like, you're going to be signing autographs. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. I thought they were really stupid. And then they sat me down and I signed autographs for 4 hours. And I was really utterly confused for the first 15 to 20 minutes. I was like, I don't know what's just happened because now I'm signing autographs.
For people, yeah.
Yeah, anime is a huge deal, man, all over the world.
Big time. I know I grew up, my first one was Akira, and I was like, it was so different than anything I had seen before.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of us in our 30s and 40s, Akira was the first thing we saw.
Yeah, Akira got me hooked too.
Yeah.
It's Tetsuo, Akira. I'm like, why are you yelling at each other before you shoot? You should just shoot and then yell each other's names.
For me, Cartoon Network, as soon as I got home, you know, as a kid, Yu Yu Hakusho, Dragon Ball Z were always on. And Hiei is probably my favorite character you portrayed in the anime, just because he was so cold. I think he probably, to me, he was like the strongest out of the four.
Thank you very much. I won't punch you in the head then.
Yes, I know how to charm my way out of destruction.
Yes, but what does it feel like to walk around in a haze of complete stupidity?
I guess whatever Kuwabara feels like.
Dragon of the darkness. No, I can't do it. My voice is shredded.
No.
It's Sunday at the con.
Maybe just the human flame. You use the human flame. It's a lesser flame.
Human of the darkness flame.
So Matt, being our resident expert on this stuff, what do you have anything you want to ask Chuck specifically?
Do you think that Yu Yu Hakusho stopped short?
Yes.
Think it stopped short.
Yes. There is a rumor I heard, and I like spreading it, because if a rumor is a good rumor, I like to spread it. And the rumor I heard was that the creator of Yu Yu Hakusho is writing more Yu Yu manga and Hunter x Hunter.
Really?
That's what I heard.
I like that rumor.
And even if it's not true, it feels true. And I hope it'll cause him to write more.
I'm going to Google that so Google gets more searches.
That's right.
Every time you type in Yu Yu Hakusho, new manga pops up.
Yu Yu Hakusho, new manga, Chuck Huber is awesome, Arbor Day the Musical. Just keep just all of it.
Absolutely.
So as a voice actor, and you did some regular acting too, I know.
That's correct. It was on season 2 of American Crime on ABC.
That's right. I knew you were on that. And then is there like a dream character you'd love to voice maybe?
I would love to voice anything in the next season of Attack on Titan. I was Petra's father in the first season, but very small role. They could afford to use me again. So I think any of that, you know, like any of the Hosada films are amazing. Boy and Beast I got to be in, and Summer Wars. So anytime you, I mean, anime runs the gamut. There are, you know, bubblegum popcorn anime, and then there are Academy Award winning anime. Mm-hmm. And anytime you get to participate in the top tier, that yeah. is that is what we appreciate the most as actors. Although we enjoy the stupid booby shows too.
Right. And we're fixing to do in July. We're going to do a couple episodes for the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. You know, it's coming up. And I know you're involved with Star Trek Continues. Is it like it's a kind of a web show, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, what it is it a brainchild of Vic Mignogna, and it starts where the original series left off. And covers all the missions between the end of the original series and the beginning of the first movie, which is about like 2 or 3 years of missions. Mm-hmm. Grant Imahara from Mythbusters plays our Sulu. Chris Doohan, son of James Doohan, the original Scotty, plays our Scotty. Todd Haberkorn is Spock. And Vic, of course, plays Kirk. Michelle Speck plays a new character, McKenna. We introduce the idea of the ship's counselor. We introduce sort of the beginning of the holodeck. So we one of the episodes covers the Mirror Universe episode, the opposite side of it. So we are filling in a lot of blanks that were left when the original series sort of ended abruptly like yeah. it did.
And where can they can find that on YouTube, right?
Yes, yeah. If there is there's this thing called the internet that is a series of tubes connected together, and one of them is a YouTube. And if you go on the tube of you, you punch in with your keyboard typewriter the words Star Trek Continues, and you will find our episodes.
Yeah, I actually recently found out about it, so I need to sit down and watch it. So I want to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And so you have anything? You want to ask me? You're my anime guy.
Any calls from Dragon Ball Super?
I can neither confirm nor deny anything about scheduling or not scheduling voice recording sessions of Dragon Ball Super. I can say this much. It is as close to being announced that we are going to record it as it can possibly be without saying anything.
You gotcha.
Understand.
So what that means is I didn't say anything, contractually obligated not to say anything.
All right.
All right.
Well...
it's the best disclaimer.
Yeah,
totally, totally.
So, anything else for Comic-Palooza fans, or
anyone, no? Just go watch Arbor Day the musical. It's yeah. an amazing, healing, wonderful laughter, joyous musical that will make your heart sing. Also, might make you fart.
Well, I think it's always proper to end an interview with a fart.
Yes.
And well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
for
my pleasure.
Radio,
my pleasure.
Chuck. Do you mind doing a quick promo for us?
No.
So that was our interview with Chuck Huber. I really hope you enjoyed that. He's really very funny guy, very a lot of fun. And what the hell are you doing, Frank?
You said I was like the Energizer Bunny a second ago, all off
off air.
Yeah, so I was just like showing how I'm like the Energizer.
That's not
Bunny.
What it looks like he was doing, does it, Matt?
No, it doesn't.
If you're in studio right now, it looks like Frank's beating his drums on his ball sack. Basically, that's a disturbing image.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, dude, Mary will come down and kick your ass.
Yes, she will, so don't tell her I said that.
So that was our interviews we did at Comic-Palooza 2016, another great con. You know, I had a lot of fun this year, as always. I was tired as hell afterwards, a lot of walking.
Yes, always a lot of walking.
Comic-Palooza takes up the whole George R. Brown Convention Center here in Houston, Texas. There's a lot going on. There's roller derby. There's stuff for the kids. There's
3 floors.
I still didn't figure out how they play Quidditch on the floor.
I still don't get Quidditch at all.
Yeah, you know, it's like Quidditch is like in the sky in a movie. It's fake. But somehow they make a game out of it. I don't know.
I guess if you can put a little horse
I never even saw the Doomsday Wrestling all that this year. It must have been upstairs somewhere.
It was two different wrestling cons.
Yeah, they had video games.
Reality of Wrestling wasn't there this year, I don't think.
No, they had video games. They had tabletop gaming. They had
the gaming section was pretty huge this year.
Panels galore. We did our live show Saturday morning, which was fun. I think next year we're going to come up with an idea, maybe do our own panel next year. I think we're thinking about it.
Yeah, people are going to show up to that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you.
And
Marco slapped me for later.
So, final thoughts on Comic-Palooza 2016. Other than the Aliens panel, any other great moments for you guys? And meeting Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah.
Hanging out with you guys. That was pretty cool, I guess.
Lou Ferrigno took a picture with my kid. I wish, you know, me and Frank were talking off air, and, you know, I wish it was a little cheaper, but, you know, I got a picture with him, and Jake really enjoyed it, because he's watched, you know, a few of those series with me, you know, whenever it's popped up on Sci-Fi, and I'm off at the home just flipping through stuff, and at one point, after the man who played Bruce Banner, you know, it popped up on Netflix, so I was watching it
yeah.
a bit, you know, and... that was really cool, and then,
actually,
of course,
it was David
Chuck.
Banner, remember?
Oh, yeah, David
Banner. Different name on the TV show, it was weird.
Like last year, once again, with my wife being hearing impaired, I want to give thanks for every single person that was there doing sign language for the panels and the shows and everything that was there. And these guys are giving poop symbol signs, which if you don't know what poop is, it's basically take your hand, one fist, close it, take the other one and put a thumb up.
Isn't it great though?
And then slide them apart, and that's the symbol
for poop.
Isn't
it great though when a celebrity fucks with a sign?
Oh, I love it.
Sean Patrick Flannery on Sunday afternoon at the Boondock Saints panel was just messing with him, and it was hilarious. He had the floor rolling. Everyone was laughing. Even the sign language people took it well. She was laughing on stage. She knew it was funny.
The sign language people are awesome. And, all the people that are there that do that volunteered to do this are amazing people. The fact that they are there giving their time, because they're volunteers. They're not getting paid for this, as far as I know. So to help out the hearing impaired, it's excellent. And thank you very much for being there for my wife and other people.
And then also, I only made it to a couple panels this year. I didn't make it to as many. I made it to the Boondock and Aliens. I liked the Boondock one better. I just thought Sean Patrick Flannery had better stories. The Aliens panel was moderated, so they had questions that were asked.
Right.
And the Boondock Saints panel was moderated.
Beginning of the Aliens panel.
Yeah, it started out well. The Boondock Saints panel was moderated too, but Sean Patrick Flannery kind of took it over.
He just took it over. It became his
Norman
show.
Reedus did come out and give Clifton College Jr. a birthday cake. That was cool. Right.
It was funny because there was like a couple people sitting next to me all pissed off that he wasn't part of the panel. But go look at, if he were there and you looked at how many people he had autographed
for. He wanted to sign for him.
It was insane.
And at first, I was a little disappointed he wasn't out there. But then Sean was so great that the panel was fantastic.
Because I was there and I was like, somebody's missing. Yeah. I thought he was supposed to be here.
The movie still holds up well almost 20 years later. It's a fun movie to watch. The sequel, not so much. You know, it's okay. I need to kind of revisit the sequel.
I just love that part where William Dafoe's like, he's like, he crosses his hands because he's trying to figure out the shooting pattern. He's like, we got ourselves a cowboy.
Yeah. I mean, and that was a lot of fun. And then I was on a panel Friday night, the Houston Nerdcasting Collective, which is, of course, one of the networks we're on. And we're fixing to start trying to build that up more. I'm going to be helping with that some. And I'm trying to get a copy of the audio from that to release as our annual special episode like we did last year. Mm-hmm. The panel I was on, so we can release that for y'all to hear. So, and we just talked about podcasting stuff and different geek things, and that was kind of fun. So another Comp-Palooza in the books.
Actually, I'm going to interrupt you a second. Speaking about your panel that you were having, your son Michael was there. How old is your son Michael?
Seven.
7 years old. And totally being a pimp daddy Mac flirting with this girl dressed like Harley Quinn.
Well,
I mean, he would not leave her alone.
He knows what's up.
Yeah, he knows to go for the Harleys.
So anyway, I walk him to the bathroom, and of course I'm joking with him, and I'm like, so what's up? And he's like, nothing. And I'm like, man, she's cute. I would totally be macking on her too. And he goes, well, you can't be because I am. And I'm like, oh, wow, really?
That's what's up, right, Michael?
And I'm telling you, man, I'm like, you're our pimp daddy.
He's ignoring us over there. He's playing video games. But
I mean, he was flirting with her so hard. I posted some pictures of him and her together. Actually, I sent them to you. You should post them.
I put them on my personal Facebook.
This girl, I don't know who she was, but she was so sweet to be so nice to him as she was.
You mentioned off air you had a question of some sort before we get out of here today.
We have a fan question from Jose. He listens to the show. He's, you know, a person I know.
Wait, whoa. Slow down. We have a fan question, and you just now tell me this, and we're almost... Dude, this is our first...
This is our first fan question ever.
Is it a fan?
Yes, we have a fan.
Dude. That also does... There's a question, but we have a fan.
We had our first female guest on at the live show. Now we have a fan question?
Jose from Houston.
Wait, that's the question that's throwing me off here, is that we actually have a fan.
We have fans. We just don't have fans to ask questions.
Okay. So he, and I've already given him my opinion. No. He said, you know, you dressed up as Hawkeye. You know, and I saw you took, you know, pictures with a few Green Arrows. So, you know, he's like, I have two questions.
I'm a long, you still look like Arsenal, but okay.
Yeah. He says, who would win in an archery match? Green Arrow or Hawkeye?
Green Arrow.
And he also had a second part question. In Age of Ultron, Hawkeye shoots his arrow, and Quicksilver catches it. He wants to know, since Hawkeye supposedly never misses, did he miss, or did Quicksilver just grab his arrow, and the arrow was on target?
Maybe he meant for him to catch it, so therefore he didn't miss.
To answer the first part of the question, I think between Hawkeye and Oliver Queen, I think that it would be the greatest archery match ever, and it would come down to agility, possibly.
Could.
You know, and who can outlast the other. I think they would continue to hit their bullseyes until the very end, it could go on for
splitting
days.
Arrows.
It could go
it's
on
like
for
splitting
days.
Arrows. It really is.
I think
like
they're equal parts. To answer the second part of the question, he didn't miss. Quicksilver just stopped it. Just like the Flash just stopped Oliver's arrow.
Yeah.
A speedster is always going to be able to stop something in motion.
Actually, right now, people are technically, depending on the caliber of the bow shooting the arrow, are able to actually catch an arrow.
He just had to get technical here.
If you have somebody that's shooting a 7,500-pound arrow,
what's he talking about?
It's going to be a little harder compared to somebody shooting a 25-pound bow.
If I told you the stats of each archer's bow, would that affect
your
decision?
But they're speedster. But they were speeder.
Well, I mean in the duel, because you haven't answered this yet. Oliver Queen's bow is a 150-pound draw, and Hawkeye's is a 250-pound draw. It takes 1,000 pounds of pressure to draw it.
But once again, it comes down to speed. Okay. You know,
a modern human
can do a 25-pound bow can be caught.
Right.
25 and under can be caught by a mortal man.
Well, yeah. Once
you get up to those levels, you almost need somebody like a Flash or somebody faster to catch it.
Well, I'm just glad that Jose sent us a fan question.
And we're talking about comic books and not reality, so.
Yeah, exactly. So
you go ahead and mark Matt and try to catch it. Like, what did you say the Green Arrows was?
150 pounds.
Go ahead and try to catch one of those, buddy.
I feel like we're going to have...
with my chest.
I feel like we keep getting...
Exactly.
I feel like we keep getting fan questions. We're going to have like, prizes for these people.
We might.
We might have to do that. But thank you, Jose, for sending that question in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jose.
To the Rebel Radio podcast.
Jose.
And I don't know if we actually really answered all of it.
Jose.
I say Hawkeye.
I answered both parts.
You said it would come down to agility.
Oh. Well, I didn't pick a winner. I think it went in a draw.
Draw.
I like Green Arrow.
I say Hawkeye. So, it's a draw.
You're a Marvel little fanboy bitch, though.
It's based on him as Ronin and his training with Captain America and his sharpest arrow. We're talking about splitting arrows, so if each archer says, all right, this has gone long enough. You take out your sharpest arrow. I'm going to take off mine, and we're going to play chicken. So, what's Hawkeye's sharpest arrow? It's adamantium. What's Oliver's? It's diamond-tipped. Which arrow wins?
And this question's going on too long now. I'm like, what?
Of course the adamantium arrow wins. Can Wolverine slice through diamond? Heck yeah, Wolverine's going to slice through diamond.
Have you ever seen Wolverine slice through diamond?
No.
Adamantium doesn't exist.
It's exactly. True. Diamond does.
Okay. So he shoots air.
So technically, in the world of unreality, reality wins.
Okay, Jose. So there's your answer, sort of.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our today's episode, you know, talking about Big Trouble in Little China, 30 years. Our Comicpalooza coverage, we had a lot of fun again this year. And coming up, we're going to be doing some Star Trek stuff, 50 years of Star Trek coming up as the movie hits here in a few weeks. And on a brief note, it was sad to hear about Anton Yelchin. I think that's how you say his name. Yep. Much too young to die. That was very sad to hear. So
during Comicpalooza.
Yeah, it happened at Comicpalooza that Sunday. Well, not it didn't happen at Comicpalooza. The news broke while we were at Comicpalooza. And so it'll be a little different seeing Star Trek Beyond now, knowing what happened to him. And so we're going to talk some Star Trek in our next episode, probably, as we get ready for the 50th anniversary of the show. And Batman the Killing Joke coming up in theaters. We're going to go see that and be doing an episode about that for you guys.
Yep.
So that's what you have to look forward to on the Rebel Radio podcast. Make sure you're going to Trust Me, I'm a Jedi every day. TrustMeI'mAJedi.com every day for your latest news and get-goes. Wednesdays, we always have our comic book covers up, which I really like that. It's one of my favorite features I've ever created for the website. It's a lot of fun finding comic book covers for people to check out. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and everything else.
Don't forget about your nerd podcast.
DuelOfNerds.com. That's my new show coming soon. This week we're releasing the first episode. It's different than this show. I hope you guys will enjoy it. And other than that,
don't forget to mention your co-hosts.
He was about to.
Dr. Evil Train.
Well, I mentioned it earlier.
Don't tell him everything.
Evil Train?
Evil Train.
Man,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him long you call him Dr. Evil Train. So this has been another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast with
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
This is your host, Mark. Thank you for listening.
Sayonara, suckers.
Adios, amigos.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
I'm gonna go.